Hey, finance folk. My name is Aidas Polubenskas, and today I get to talk with the chairperson of the European Insurance and Occupational Pensions Authority, otherwise known as EIOPA, Petra Hielkema. She was appointed as chair back in September 2021, so she's a bit more than halfway through this term. EIOPA is at the heart of insurance and occupational pension supervision in the EU. Their aim is to foster financial stability and confidence in the insurance and pensions markets. I'm not getting any younger, so pensions are on my radar. I'm also a big fan of insurance because even though I plan ahead for just about everything, there are some things you can't plan for, except being covered when stuff happens. So rest assured, and let's get to it. Welcome to the podcast, Petra.
Thanks, Aidas. Pleasure to be here.
Well, okay. I am what you could call a jack of all trades and a master of only some. So I always like to start these with a refresher course for myself and maybe for some of those in the audience who are in the same position as I am. What is the European Insurance and Occupational Pensions Authority, EIOPA? What is your role?
Yeah, so it all happened in 2011 when EIOPA was born together with two sisters, the EBA, the Banking Authority, and ESMA, the Markets Authority. And the reason we were created was that we realized that insurance, pensions, also banking and markets, do not end at the border of one member state. And so you need something in supervision that actually reaches across those member states. And this is the task of EIOPA. What do we do? We do it jointly. I think that is important. It is me and my board, that's 27 supervisors from 27 member states. Jointly, we take decisions in three areas. We advise on our own initiative or ask the Council, Parliament and Commission on legal text, legal developments, laws on our mandate, so on insurance, on pensions. We work together with all the authorities to make sure that the implementation of those laws is as harmonized and convergent as possible. That's a challenge. We can even intervene if we feel that some don't do a proper job. And finally, we are also a face of European supervision to other countries. So we liaise with UK, USA, Asia, Switzerland on behalf of all the 27.
So it's a pretty big mandate. I mean, in the sense that you're dealing with but when you say insurance, we're talking about insurance across the board. I mean, are we talking about like when I have to worry about my car insurance, you guys are also involved in that, or insurance for really big investments and just everything?
It's everything that deals with consumers. And I think the core is that if you get an insurance, whether it is for your car or it is for your retirement or because you want to go on a nice vacation or pay the study of your kids, then what you need to do is you need to be sure that you have that money, but you can't do that yourself. So you do the insurance and then you count on the insurer to pay. Now, what makes sure that that insurer actually has that money? That's supervision. So we check if an insurer makes a promise to you, we actually assess whether or not they can live up to that promise and deliver on whatever they have to pay out because they promised you. The other part is how they sell it to you. So when they sell, do they sell you something that you actually need? Do you understand the product? And do they also deliver the service that they promised? And if not, then again, you can go to supervision and we can challenge that. So we look at whether or not you pay too much for your life insurance. We look whether or not you actually should have been recommended to buy that product. But we also check if you have a pension, if that pension fund is actually able to pay you when it has to.
So you're all about protecting the citizens.
Yes, we are. I do too. We are there for financial stability and consumer protection. But the reason I like to go to my job is because when I look in the street and I see the people in the street, I realize that they sleep well and they can go on in their business or in their travel or in their house ownership because they know that if something happens, they have a cover in insurance. And they don't have to worry about whether or not that will hold because that's what we do for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in my job at the commission, I sometimes run across insurance. I deal with some other stuff, mostly sanctions, which is my favorite thing. But that's neither here nor there. I know that insurance, there are two really strong buzzwords these days going. And one of them is climate change. Mm-hmm. And the other is protection gaps. Now, climate change, I have a grip on. I don't know if I have a grip on it in the context of insurance. Protection gaps, no idea. Could you explain these two things to me?
Yes. So what if you get an insurance to make sure that your house is protected against damage? And then one day there is this huge hailstorm that damages the tiles on your roof. And then the insurer pays out. But then the next week, maybe there's a thunderstorm and a tree falls on your house and the insurer pays out for that. And the next day there is so much rain that you actually have a flooding in your basement. The idea of an insurance is that they can afford to help you pay for the damage and they pay out. But what we see, and here comes the climate change, that with climate change, these events, thunderstorms, heavy rain, they happen more frequent. Mm-hmm. And so damages happen more frequent. And currently the insurance industry, but also and by now also governments start to talk about how long can we actually, are insurance able to afford that kind of damages with the current premium that we pay.
Before the money runs out.
Before the money runs out. Moreover, we also assessed as IOPA how much damage with the increased, because of climate change, because of what we call the five perils, and that is drought, flooding by sea, flooding by a river, earthquake, and forest fires. What is the total damage in Europe, and how much of that is currently insured? And the answer is 25% is insured. So there is also a gap in the sense that 75% of the damages that will happen to us as a whole, insurance won't pay for that. So who will pay for it? And that is currently the core of the discussion. Should insurers do more? Should people do more? Should governance do more? That's what we talk about.
So the protection gap is basically who's not insured.
The gap is that there is no protection against the damage.
Oh, of course, they might be insured, but not necessarily for that specific damage.
Yeah. And often they are not insured at all. And one of the reasons is because we did a behavioral study, and we asked consumers, why are you not taking out insurance for these kinds of perils? I mean, it might happen to you. And the answers were interesting. An answer we expected was that they underestimate the risk, that it will happen to them. Yeah, this happens to others, but maybe not to me. They overestimate sometimes the price. They say it's very expensive. And then we ask, well, what would you be willing to pay? Actually, what they are willing to pay is about the price. So that's a missed opportunity. But what is very interesting is that many say, because in those events, the government will help me. And that assumption may not hold if these damages come more and more, more frequent, more intense, so more damage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been insuring myself against floods for 25 years because I live on a river. Fortunately, haven't had any problems, but you know, I keep thinking that my insurance company has got to love me. Anyway.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you also take measures? Because part of this discussion that is essential, and insurers have a important role to incentivize, but are you taking measures? For example, do you have a construct in your house that is waterproof, or do you have your electricity at a level in your house where the water won't come? So are you taking mitigation, adaptation measures?
Well, sure. I mean, when we took down the roof, it was these terracotta tiles.
Yeah.
So we put them down, and then we used them to lift the berm that would protect us from the river. And the electricity, yes, is picked up up the ground. And we also have sump pumps for when the groundwater does start encroaching. So yeah, we do take mitigation measures. And I'm always surprised when people don't think ahead, especially when they're in a potentially perilous situation. I'm interested in what role insurers play in getting people ready or preparing people and cities to adapt to climate change. I mean, as a citizen, as a concerned person, obviously I follow the news and I know that, you know, sea level and river levels are rising. But what are insurers doing to help prepare people for that?
Well, their role has been evolving. So when I started in 21, what you saw was that, first of all, they were signaling that this is going to get too expensive also for us to pay out. And we need help. Maybe we need a backstop from the state. And the state was busy with a corona crisis and also was thinking, you know, you need to also deliver on your license to protect and to manage the risk of society. The second phase was that insurers just started to exclude. So they just struck it out of the policy, and so maybe people thought they were insured, mm-hmm. but they no longer were insured, or they just would not offer the product anymore, which we call exclusion. What IOPA did is we said, if you exclude out of an existing product, you need to communicate that very clear to the consumer. But at the same time, that is not the solution, because we don't want to go further down at already 75% not insured. So what is the role? And here IOPA, together with the ECB, worked on a report where we say there are four steps that need to happen, and in every step, insurers play a role. The first step is what I just alluded to. Consumers can do themselves to take steps to reduce the damage, but sometimes you need to be incentivized. And for example, if my bicycle in the Netherlands, if it gets stolen, my insurer tells me I will only pay for that if you can show that you have locked the bicycle. And I think that is mitigation, and that we can do to limit the damage. We can't prevent it. The second is that they can talk, actually, but they should also be heard, to city councils, mm-hmm. to municipalities that license buildings, because the construction of buildings is currently sometimes happening in areas where you may wonder if that is a smart area to build, particularly for flood risk. The second step is, of course, insurance. Selling insurance, good products that offer value, that are clear also on what you should insure. Then there are the reinsurers. That is the insurer of the insurer. They play a crucial role here, because if in one area the flood risk is large, there are other areas in Europe, but also in the world, that have that less. So you can, what we call, diversify the risk at the global level. That is where reinsurers come in. And finally, there is the dialogue indeed with government on schemes where the government does provide some help. But I think also here the role of insurers is to have fair risk assessments. And maybe also there, if the government also steps in, maybe also consider a little bit how much profit they still want to make, considering that, you know, the public money is helping them. So there is also, I think, a need in society sometimes for insurer to play a positive role and maybe make a little bit less profit. I mean, it's a business, it can make profit, but I think that is a good consideration. So what we say is that in all these four layers, insurers have a role, citizens have a role, governments have a role, and it will only work if we all work together.
No, it sounds good to me. It sounds like when everybody takes responsibility, the system's going to work. Yeah. Let's jump over to pensions.
Yeah.
Let's come back to protection gaps. What are the protection gaps when it comes to pensions? And what is AOPA's role here?
Well, this is one of my major concerns. I grew up in a country that has a good pension system, although now I study it, there's actually for women a big pension gap, which has to do with part-time work culture. But in general, and I am talking European Union, one in five European citizens is at full risk of living in poverty at old age. I think that's an unacceptable number. We're talking 17 million Europeans. And that is because there is not enough money in retirement. Now, the likelihood of that problem increasing is very high. We have a very aging population. And so currently we have three people working for every pensioner. That number will come down to 1.5 people working for one pensioner. And that means that state pensions, which we call pay as you go, and that means that the worker pay for the pensioners. But the group of workers is going to be too small to pay a lot. And so the part of the state pension most likely will go down from 47% of total pension to 36. These are European averages. So in some countries it looks better, Nordics, Netherlands. In other countries, it looks a lot worse. And that to me is a huge gap on, and here the gap is what you need in retirement, what is a fair income to not live in poverty, and what is actually going to be the reality. And it's not an urgent problem. Like, it's not a big storm that makes the headlines on TV. But it's a slow burning problem, I always say. But it's a massive problem for citizens in Europe, but in the end also for societies.
Okay. Insurance and pensions make up just one part of the financial system. You mentioned a couple of other agencies, or I think the ECB as well. Does EIOPA cooperate with other stakeholders in the broader financial sector?
We do very much. At the start, I already mentioned the two sisters. So the Markets Authority and the Banking Authority. We actually get a lot of also joint assignments where the Commission asks the three of us to come up with advice. And a recent example, very important one, is on sustainability reporting requirements, but also on DORA, which is not the Little Explorer, but it's a Digital Operational Resilience Act. There we really work with the three of us, and we will ultimately also do the oversight with the three of us of the critical third parties, which are actually the big tech companies that are operating in Europe. So we very much work with them. When it comes to monitoring stability, the markets, we work with the ESRB and the ECB very closely. And of course, we have a good relationship actually here in the Commission with DG FISMA. We interact a lot. We have our own roles. Mm-hmm. But I'm always happy to be able to say that cooperation is actually quite good. And I think part of that is because the group that knows insurance and pensions and understands it is maybe a bit of a niche. But because of that, we do share the same goal, which is protecting consumers, but also making sure that with a good functioning insurance market and pension market, we have peace of mind and we manage the risks in society. So I think it's that common goal in an area that's maybe a bit more technical in the financial industry that also bonds a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I know that you're in a really big hurry, and I apologize for taking so much of your time, but I'm a big fan of sustainable finance. You know, I really enjoy looking at green finance and seeing how I can invest in green stuff and, you know, think about the future, both for my own future. I'm not that old yet. And for the future of my kids. One thing that I'm always concerned about is greenwashing. Does EIOPA have a role in, I don't know, mitigating, preventing, whatever, greenwashing? Are you guys helping fight it?
Yes, we do. And very simple. As I said at the beginning, what an insurer sells you or what a pension fund sells you has to be true. And we assess that. That's conduct supervision. So if an insurer says, I'm selling you this product and 20% of that is sustainable or 100% is sustainable, or I'm actually a pension fund that itself is a very sustainable operation, then it has to be true. Otherwise, you're telling lies to consumers and you should not. So we already have that mandate, but we're specifying it now. We are drafting an opinion on greenwashing. Again, we do that in close cooperation with the other two sisters, where we specify what we mean with greenwashing, but in the end it is statements claiming green where it is not. I think we can make it as simple as that. And then identifying what we expect from financial institutions when they communicate. And it's very simple. I tell them, they say, yeah, but then there's a risk that, you know, we're seen as greenwashing, but we didn't know. They don't have to call it green. Call it green when it is green. Now, how do you assess that? There, the Commission also helped with the taxonomy. I think that's a very clear part of assets where you can say, okay, taxonomy aligned, it's green. But there is also an area where there is an opinion necessary of the insurer. We give some guidelines there, but we definitely also check whether or not they're selling real green or not really green.
Sounds like exactly the right thing to do. Petra, thank you so much for coming to the pod. Thank you for enlightening about pensions and about insurance. I think I learned quite a bit today. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
Okay, here's my take on this. EIOPA is an independent advisory body to the European Commission, the European Parliament, and the Council of the European Union. They are one of the EU supervisory authorities carrying out specific legal, technical, scientific tasks and giving evidence-based advice. one of the three sisters. In this way, they help shape informed policies and laws on insurance and occupational pensions at EU and national levels. EIOPA protects the public interest by contributing to the short, medium, and long-term stability, effectiveness, and sustainability of the financial system for the union's economy, citizens, and businesses. Sounds good to me. Future-facing is what the EU does best. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me. Do please tell others about the podcast. Like and subscribe. Give us a good rating on whatever platform you're listening on. It helps spread the word. Bye.